thomasofgod.net.
Hello, Brother Thomas.
Hey, Sister Mary.
Brother Thomas, does God really plan to save man?
Yes, Sister Mary, God does have a plan in order to keep his promise to give man eternal life, that for which he promised to himself even before the world began. And, of course, that promise can be found in Titus 1:2. If we're going to look at God's plan, we have to look into it as if it's a judicial court case. And that's what we really would like to do, I guess, beginning today. First thing we have to do is look at the case. Each person has a file. Each person in a court, if you have a file, if you're a criminal or if you've committed some crime, you have a file. And even if you haven't committed a crime, if you get stopped by the police start looking at your record. Every person born in this world has a record in the government and in the nation where you live. And so in order to begin to try to see what God's plan is, we have to look at the case itself and see what options we've got in trying to save mankind, and also to see how God is going to keep his promise so that he won't be called a liar. Because we know that in Titus 1:2 it says that God, who cannot lie, you know, who promised to give man eternal life even before the time began. So to look at the case, we must look at first in Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, we've dealt with sin pretty much, and we keep repeating it, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin, as we've learned, is a spirit and a rebellious, disobedient nature that we got. Not only is it a rebellious spirit, a disobedient spirit that we have towards authority and toward God, but it's also a behavior as to how we respond to one another and how we respond to circumstances and situations. And of course, we have learned here in this program that this behavior is listed as such, and this isn't all of them. Anger is a sin, hate is a sin, bitterness is a sin, jealousy is a sin, fighting is a sin, unforgiveness is a sin, disobedience to authority is a sin, murder is a sin, adultery is a sin, fornication is a sin, gossip is a sin, slander is a sin, drunkenness is a sin, selfishness is a sin, theft is a sin, greed is a sin, and of course a lot more than just these. And of course, we can name some of them and see where we have all committed a sin against God and against his love character. Anger, there's not a person alive that hasn't been angry or been bitter or been jealous or that hasn't fussed and fought or hated or been unforgiving. Every person has committed these things, and this is what sin is. So have we all sinned? Oh, yes, we have all sinned. And, of course, we have also learned that, in Psalms 51, verse 5, we learned that we are birthed with this sin nature, with this behavior as to how we behave and how we respond to one another and how we respond to God in circumstances. It says in Psalms 51, 5, it says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Of course, the word conceived, and we dealt with this, is when the seed enters into the womb or the egg of the woman. At that point, that's conception. That's the beginning of the formation of the body and the little spirit itself. Therefore, there's not a person alive. It says right there, very plain and clear, that we're all born in sin, and that at the point of conception, we become a sinner. And, of course, the punishment for living this behavior of hatred, bitterness, envy, and strife, and jealousy, and slander, and cutting each other up with our tongues, and fussing and fighting with each other, and hurt and destroying each other by hurting one another with words and actions. Living this type of life of greed and anger and adultery and fornication and murder in our hearts, of course, we can find the punishment found in Romans 6:23. So if you turn to Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." It says right there, "For the wages of sin is death." If in our lifetime, if we can't find some way to change our destiny, death is the punishment. Now, this isn't just talking about separation from the their spirit from the body, our real selves from our body. Certainly, James dealt with that. When that happens, you do die. Your body ceases to function. But the word death means separation. Separation from a body and separation from living on an earth and experiencing God's creation, experiencing relationships, experiencing, tiptoeing through the tulips and rains and sunrises and sunsets, you know, in a body. This is life. And being separated from that, of course, you know, and it says if there's eternal life, then there's eternal punishment. And, of course, being separated from God, because Christ said himself, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So death is being separated from God, separated from the life that he wants to give you, separated from living and experience action upon earth or upon another planet, some body that God has made, experiencing his creation. And, of course, that is the punishment for this. And, of course, in Revelation 20, it talks about how that eternal punishment is to be cast into the lake of fire and to burn for eternity. Every person that is born in this world is born already guilty, and you already possess that rebellious, disobedient nature and behavior already. Living contrary to God, which is, of course, love, and love is that love nature is being long-suffering and patient and gentleness and kind and faithful, humility, meekness, self-control, giving and forgiving one another, and of course more. If we could look in our file in heaven, let's say there is a file up there, just like every person that's born in this world has a file. If we could look at the file that each one of us possess, I'm afraid it would look probably something like that. If we could open it up, it would have your date of birth, it would have your sex, and it would have your verbal identification as far as whether, you know, you have brown hair, blue eyes, so forth and so on. It would be a description of your physical as to what you're like. And then they would have all the violations you have committed up to this point in your life. It would have every time and it would have the date and the time and the place where you committed every act of anger. It would have every act of hate and moment of hate that you've committed towards someone. It would have within it the date and the time and place to where you were bitter and how long you held your bitterness. It would have in it the date and the time of your jealousies and when you fought with somebody and the moments in time, maybe months and years, where you were unwilling to forgive. And then it would have the times to where you were outright just blatantly disobedient to some form of authority. And then there would be the times where you would have committed murder, not just outward murder, but inward murder. And then the times of adultery, not just outwardly committing and laying with another man's wife, but the times where you would look up along the street and find those women to lust after them in your heart. And Christ said you've committed adultery already. Fornication, having sexual relationships before you enter into the relationship of marriage. And then there's gossip and slander. And the times for which you had gotten drunk or addicted to drugs and the cigarettes and alcohol or some other form of addiction. And then the times were in your heart when you literally stole something, or in your heart you lusted to possess something that belonged to somebody else. All these things and more would be listed. Every sin you've committed that is contrary to God's character and for where you have committed a violation against him or against some fellow human being would be in that file. And then there would be on the bottom of the file after the listing of every crime you've committed, and it would be a stamp in red, and it would say, it would be stamped and it would say guilty, and it would say be condemned. And then underneath there would be the penalty already, unless something was to change, would be the penalty of your crimes. And of course that would be death, and of course eternal punishment in the lake of fire, to where you would burn for eternity. And then of course underneath there would be your position in society, and in there it would say the enemy of God. In Romans 5:10, we can read this for ourselves, because in Romans 5:10 it says, for if when we were enemies, if when we were enemies, because every person born to this world is born as an enemy of God. And of course then that leaves us with the question, since we are all guilty and we cannot save ourselves, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 it says very plainly that you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. And we've dealt plainly with this, that man cannot save himself. And since this is the case, then how can God keep his promise to give man a chance to enter into the promise of eternal life, so that God can keep his standing to the fact that he is a keeper of his promises and that he is not a liar? And to understand this and to continue in this realm, we'll have to get back together again next week. Is that okay with you, Sister Mary?
Yes, Brother Thomas, thank you. If you would like a tape or CD of today's lesson, please write to promiseofgod.net, 545 Big Leaf Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78264. Or email us at t_sal@sbcglobal.net. Or you may call area code 210-626-1416 with your request for any of the broadcast lessons or questions or comments. See you next time at thepromiseofgod.net.